Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
That's how we should start every podcast right there. Cheers.
Cheers to it.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Just doing our thing, trying to make it happen. Exciting episode today. We got Doc Jock in the house.
How everybody doing?
We're going to be talking about office gossip, how to deal with that or not deal with that. Call my dad. Yeah, it'll be good. Hey, let me tell you about our digital implant continuum. So Doc Jock and I here, we get to participate in a pretty exciting, fun thing that we do called the digital implant continuum, where we teach you how to place implants. So if you've never placed an implant or you want to get into placing implants, doing it digitally, extractions, bone grafts, PRF, all that stuff, check us out, 3D-dentist.com, and that is your advertisement for the day.
It's a phenomenal course, and again,
it is a good course.
Any course, again, anyone entering into dental implants needs to do a live patient course where they actually get to perform the procedure.
Yeah, it's just better that way.
You're putting it lightly. It's stupid to do it in any other way.
I agree with you. You know, I sponsor my own podcast, so we get to advertise our own shit.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The way to do it. All right, so tell me what's going on. You show up last night. You're in Nashville, which is kind of fun. You're here for oral conscious sedation. And you show up last night, and your first words are, basically, very quickly, we started talking about office drama.
Yeah, man. I'm trying not to explode on your podcast. I'm just tired of dealing with the bullshit.
Explode away.
I don't know if this is a family-friendly podcast, so I'll watch my language.
No, it's not. It's not. I don't think it's family-friendly, really. Or maybe it is. I don't think. Cussing's okay.
Yeah, okay.
We're so explicit, I think, on iTunes.
Okay, good. Good to know. But it's just the past six months. I'd say 6 months it's been happening. Just brewing something. I didn't really realize it was going on. And, you know, more and more gossip started trickling in. And I think it was when I started not separating my practice, but when I was really, this past year, you know, I've been making a push sort of these digital systems and getting those right. And my associate was more on the floor doing the traditional stuff while I'm trying to build up.
So to give the listeners a little bit of a background, you run a, historically, you've run a primarily like denture-based extraction type office, like a private practice, affordable dentures that your dad has been doing for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then you come in, help grow it, help change it. And now what we're seeing is a change in this new version of this practice that's highly focused on implants, overdentures, full arch. Mm-hmm. And so now naturally there becomes a divide between you still maintain the base, like which is our hygiene.
Correct.
In general practice, and your denture base, and then you grow into the second. So as you're growing this and starting to see the separation, that's when you feel like this all kind of
started. Yeah, because again, I was more separated than I used to be, so I wasn't immersed in amongst the team, and I guess I'm seeing the fruits a little bit of that now. I can't know that for sure, but that's sort of how I felt. I mean, you know what, building this type of practice, it's the way you've done it. You have to take a lot of time to put these systems into place, doing research, learning the systems, and in doing that, like on the floor less, interacting a little bit less, but in my mind, I've also at the same time every week been implementing trainings. So I'm in trying to train them with these things. And some people embrace these type of things, others don't.
My granddad always told my dad, now my dad tells me all the time, he's like, you know, when you add team members, it doesn't have a linear impact. It's an exponential impact.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, going from 3 to 4 team members is not the same as going from 12 to 13 or 20 to 21. Ironically, you would think adding people at that point would be easier, but it exponentially meshes with the personalities.
It does, and it creates even more of a diffusion of responsibility. Like, there's just so much that occurs.
Yeah, meaning more people to blame
or say they'll take care of it. Like, I didn't know that I was supposed to do that. Whereas if you had two people, it's going to be a much more clear whose job it was to do this or that, or where to pin where this started.
So do you think it has to do with, would you say it's your absence?
I do, because I mean, you know, the past couple months I've been back on the floor because of this, like dealing with the staffing issues and stuff. And I haven't, like, we've had several people leave for what seems legitimate reasons, but I have my own concerns that again, I'm unsure of what caused him to leave, but regardless of which, I've put myself back in play more than I have been, and I've seen a positive response from especially the core assistants that I've worked with.
Saying that, like, that makes a difference when you're there.
Yeah.
You know, I think the hard part that we have to realize, too, is, like, you just can't delegate leadership.
And that, again, I won't speak to it, but that is exactly right. You cannot delegate leadership.
Like, it's just, it's hard. And, like, I shouldn't say you can't. You can. The reality is that depending on how you delegate, every step down the delegation, it's your message is going to get watered down. So, like, I delegate a lot to Aubrey, right? I mean, Aubrey is essentially as close to me, my right-hand person is, like, I mean, she's more aligned in my vision than my dad is even. So I could delegate a lot to her, but at the same time, she still will make decisions that I wouldn't have made.
Exactly.
Like, there's still a watered-down version of me. Now, it may be better in some ways sometimes, but then a lot of times it's not. And then you think the trickle-down from that to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. And I think what I hear time and time again from people is that they want to find a way to outsource that.
That's completely true. And the other thing about when you delegate that type of thing is you can assume all you want that that person knows your vision.
Oh, yeah.
And they know all the principles that are behind that, whether that be another dentist, whether that be your number two who's doing stuff for you. And then you find out, okay, they're really mis-messaging this, like, to the rest of the team. And they were already sort of, these concepts were foreign to them, and now they're thinking that they've been doing it correct. They've just completely mooked it up.
So outside of you being off kind of the floor and doing other things, did any of this correspond to, like, a new hire or a new person, like a bad apple, or is it just more of, like, the lack of you being the stable person and the
again still trying to
sort through that
and figure out what's been occurring. And that is a lot of the source of my frustration. And I guess just in generic terms, because I won't speak to a lot of the true specifics at the time, is, like, I was asking you, how do you deal with, like, office gossip? Because we all know it's a poison.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is you're never going to
I'm dealing with it.
And you're not going to get rid of it. Like, again, you're just not, especially like we were saying, when you add more people, it's going to get even worse. And then it just becomes, because you want to address the problem. Someone comes to you saying, so-and-so said this, blah, 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 because you want them to know that you're taking what they said seriously. But at the same time, it becomes a game of telephone.
Yes, that's what I'm experiencing right now.
Where, you know, he said, and if you approach that person, like, that's not what I said, blah, blah, blah. And it's just nothing gets accomplished. And then all it does is create more animus amongst the two people.
And then you're walking around. I'll see, like, two people talking and off, and then, like, they'll stop talking. I'm like, oh, come on.
And I hate, that's what I'm saying, is I've really felt that recently, and I've never felt that way, and I hate it.
Yeah, and it can kill a culture very quickly.
Very quickly, because, I mean, it gets pervasive, and then, I mean, you can start just be like getting over analytical, almost, you know, just worried of something that's not there, that's occurring. I mean,
right. Yeah, it's hard not to micromanage that. I think what I've done in the past, I struggle because on one hand, I've been good about, like, gathering people together and taking it head on. Like, I think there's value in that, being like, I'm not going to just, like, let this fester.
No,
I'm going to meet it head on. Now, the flip side of that is, and, like, in the current, like, I'm dealing with that in the situation too, where I've got a couple team members that are just, you know, at each other a little bit. And I keep getting, like, they'll go talk to Aubrey, or they'll go talk to me, and then I'll try to go talk to the other person. And, you know, you get these, like, I'm like, okay, you're not a bad person. You're not a bad person. I think at this point, y'all just need to talk it out.
Yeah.
Like, put them in the ring.
And that's been my philosophy a lot of times. Like, hey, well, y'all talk it. But then at times that blows up in my face.
Yeah, it probably will.
I mean, I've found no good solution to it. And,
I think the good solution, and this is where we'll kind of go on some level with this, is I think we've got to do a better job of vetting our hires. And then not only that, I think we've got to do a better job of making sure that the hires that we hire are on the right seat on the bus and that their bus mates are around them that meshes together. Do you do personality testing when you hire people?
I don't. I know we've talked about it, and y'all are pretty heavy on implementing that.
I'm a big believer in that.
I think that's a great thing to do. It's more me being lazy. I'm like, okay, I just need to get
some. Well, at some point, that's because you're right. Like, we're like, oh, you can breathe. Yeah. Perfect, you're hired.
I mean, honestly, like, okay, you can stock rooms, get in there.
Yes. Like,
because I want to get back to doing what matters to me, right, and not put devoting.
That's the hard part.
And it flips all this positive energy that you have towards like this, these things we're building, and it turns everything just freaking negative. And it is exhausting dealing with it. And we're, you know, in the middle of it a little bit right now. I don't know, man. Then there's the concerns about the threats of the hierarchy and the people higher on the totem pole may, you know, be concerned that other people have the potential to surpass them when it's clearly not the case. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating, and that's putting it lightly, like I said.
I think the other challenge is difficult is like the larger you get, and this is a good point for people to understand, like the less your message and your vision is being heard from you. And so like,
exactly.
I believe that like, I know without a doubt, like I could count a couple people and I could name names that like I'm grateful beyond words because they would walk through fire for me.
Exactly.
Like they would, if I was like, hey, this is going to sound crazy, but you know, we've got to serve gin and tonics before every hygiene appointment. And that's how we're going to do it. Like they'd be like, that sounds crazy, but we'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Like that's how they are. Like they trust me. But then there's a lot of people who they trust me, but they're not going to. It's still a job, like naturally you're never gonna be able to build a team that's like of 100 people of like all bought in. Like that's just not realistic. And so that's what I find is that like the message I speak a lot of times to our team as a whole, and I forget that a lot of them don't know me. Right? Like they don't know who I am. They didn't go through the stuff. Yeah, I'm like the figurehead that that they see me very rarely.
And it could be they look at you and you're like, they look at you like, oh man, that's freaking, look at, there's Sully. Like there he is. He's building it. Or they're like, oh, and this corporate snob, he's all he cares about is money. Like you don't know what they're thinking. And I mean, I guess I started to feel a little bit of that when I pulled myself. And again, I didn't really pull myself because it's actually the opposite. I'm really trying to make that place blow up even more and elevate everyone there. And I've been messaging that, like, work smarter, not harder. I don't want y'all to see like 20 patients a day doing adjustments and softliners. I'd rather you have more fixed hybrid cases where you don't have to deal with that crap and you see a few a day and we elevate exponentially. But it's hard to implement that vision for people who just, some people don't have the capacity for it.
No.
And you can't force it down their throat.
So we do a lot of personality testing in that we're trying to figure out how do we communicate effectively with each other. And it's helpful, obviously, from one standpoint, because once you understand the different personality types, then you're able to not only kind of identify who you are, but then you identify who you're talking to, how they are, how they intake and receive information. And I would say a lot of my growth as a leader, not a lot, the majority of my growth as a leader has really just come from me being able to appreciate the personality on the other side of the conversation and knowing how I need to potentially change my conversation or tweak it slightly so that it lands in the appropriate way that I'd like it. Because historically, we typically tend to talk in the way that we would like to hear the information, right?
Yep. No, so that's a phenomenal point. And that was going back to other people want to spread your message and your vision, but they're incapable of doing it in an adequate manner, whether that be in the way they deliver it and it just sounds bossy.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem because then that creates animus and they're like, the people that are hearing it, then they are just like, I'm not going to do that because you said it that way.
No.
Like, and that's a huge problem.
I like Connie Podesta's shapes. You can go her website. I heard her speak a couple years ago at Sorona World and it's just funny and I liked it. But she labels everybody as squares, triangles, circles, or squiggles. And she kind of does it in a funny way.
Am I a squiggle?
You may be a squiggle.
I hope I'm a squiggle.
or something like a disc profile, or whatever. But to the equivalent of a disc profile, I'm like a high D, super D, Like, D is the only way.
Big D.
Big D. Big D.
Big D.
And that's a triangle in her thing. So, like, and I know, like, to like one of the traits of that personality type is, like, I'm really kind of here for a bottom line experience. Like, I don't need the bullshit. I really don't want to know how you're doing. I just kind of want to know. It's in a workplace setting. Like, I'm just here to, like, there is a task. The task needs to be completed. I want it to be completed in the most efficient, quick manner. Like, that's a triangle. That's a D. Well, naturally, a lot of my employees are not that.
No, that's because, because I'm the same way. Like, why are we still talking? Like, this.
Yes, let's get to the point.
You didn't even need to ask me this question. No. You just want to have a conversation to have a conversation.
Yes.
And they're like, why are you blank staring at me?
And like, typically, that's natural because, and like, if you think about it from like an animalistic standpoint, like, there's only typically one, like, one lion in the herd. Like you're just, I'm not going to hire a bunch of other Ds because I'm the D, right? Or I'm the triangle in that regard. So, like, naturally, you tend to hire people that are more compliments to your personality or different. And so that is a good thing, but it can also be a very bad thing. So I've got a lot of circles that we have on our team. And circles, I don't know, I think it's an S maybe. But one of the traits of circles is that, like, they're the opposite. Like, in order to get anything accomplished, they first got to have, like, a layer of trust of just, like, normal fun conversation of, like, hey, Jock, how was your weekend? How are the kids? And, like, they genuinely care about how the kids are. And then they want to tell you about their kids and what their grandkids are doing. And the whole time I'm like,
small talk.
Can we just get to the why you're in my office and what you need to talk about? Or, like, or understanding where people like to talk. Like, a circle would be terrified to have a meeting in my office. Like, they would much rather go grab coffee and talk. Like, that's a safer environment, safer setting to have conversation. So, like, whereas X other personality type may like them to come to their office or their layer or their hygiene op or their assistant bay, whatever it is, because that's how they're going to intake the information better. So it's interesting when you start to learn more and more about personalities, because then you can tailor the conversations and the way that you talk to them in the way that will most land with them.
No, and you and T have always talked about that. The office is not a great place to get a true conversation out of somebody.
No.
And as much as I tell them, and I fought with that, I'm like, hey, I love talking about this stuff. Just buzz me and come talk to me about anything. Like, they'd never.
Open door policy, right? Never. Like how much people said that?
And I sit up there like Quasimodo because no one ever comes to talk to me.
Yeah.
And I would do the walks outside, but our place in Rocky Mountain, it's not, I don't know if it's safe to go on a walk.
Well, so what Jock's alluding to, and this is something we do in our office and Timo knows in his, and it's been one of the best things. And I really, really, if there's a takeaway from this episode, it may be this.
Mm-hmm.
Go on walks with your people. And what I mean by that is if you've got a free 20 minutes, free 30 minutes, like we just walk in the parking lot next door, like around the parking lot, around this office building. If you'll grab a team member and just, hey, I'm going to go for a walk, and you'll just take them on a walk with you with no agenda, which that part kills me, but that's critical to the process.
Just listening to them.
And then just say, hey, how's it going?
And what I like,
let them go.
What I love about the concept is we were just talking about them having small talk that you don't really typically want to engage in. But then that type of thing opens the door for a genuine conversation.
Yeah.
Because we do care about those people.
Absolutely.
And anything going on in their life, whether it's good or bad, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I'll probably try to fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what can we do to fix it? We'll probably just make it worse.
Someone said the other day, they're like, which I love this. They're like, do you want me to. What do they say? It was something along the lines of, do you want me to fix it or do you want me
just
to
listen,
cuddle you?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It was like an intimate more way of saying it, but yes, it was like, do you want me to fix your problem or just listen to your problem? Right.
Like, that's the problem with like me and my significant.
Oh, what was it? It was snuggles, something or snuggles. It's going to kill me.
But that's the God's honest truth is like, I get in trouble because I hear a problem like, okay, why aren't you doing it? It's like,
Here's how you fix it.
It's like, yep. And then you get in trouble because they like, I didn't need to hear that.
Right. But that goes back to understanding like, hey, my personality is that if you give me a problem, I'm really good at solving problems. That's why I've been successful. That's my go-to. That's my default. And then I got to understand is it, what role am I playing in this conversation and how is it landing? So the walks have been great because now, and a lot of times it will be work-related. A lot of times it's not.
Maybe I get a couple of treadmills and some VR headsets.
That could work. And you got to link up together. But I tell you, not to get into too much TMI, but like last year was a harder year for me. And like I got into therapy and therapy was has been one of the best things that for my leadership, like just learning to lead it. And part of that is better appreciating the person on the other side of the conversation, like knowing that that Jock is not just a dentist, but Jock has a relationship, Jock has a family, Jock has hobbies, Jock has things not going so well in his life, Jock has good things, and that it actually benefits myself mentally, physically, and it benefits my business too, mm-hmm. for me to know my people on a deeper level.
Well, exactly. And that's what I was saying is because it is a genuine conversation and it shows like we genuinely do care. And those opportunities get to let them see, okay, they actually do care about me. I'm not just a number on their spreadsheet, like yep. keeping their bottom line like going as it should. So I am working on finding ways to implement that. But again, like you were saying, it's my problem is they'll present, probably talk, like knowing me, they'll start talking about something with their kids, and I'll try to give them a solution to how to help someone with kids. And
I can't remember what it was.
But I don't know. Then me and you are the type of people I think that. Then we'll go past that and try to peel the onion. Like, yeah, I know they don't want an answer, but I know what's better for them to get the answer.
Let me Socratic method my way into the giving them the solution.
But it's just I hate it. It's again, it's bit. You know, I've always heard about it and I've always known it's a poison. It's just hit our practice the past few months. And just trying to get back on a stable playing field has been a nightmare. And then something else pops up because I don't know if there's still some remnants of whatever poison that caused it is still there.
Well, Jock, I'm going to be hard on you in that I think that two things you've talked about. And we've harped on them. And like you said, I've harped on this personality testing thing for a while. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it. We've harped on that, like going on walks for a while is an invaluable thing. And you can't Rocky Mountain.
I invite him to come to the Y with me at lunch, but no one wants to come to
like,
the Y.
Maybe you need to like, just be like, hey, we're going to go walk around the track at the Y. I don't know what it looks like, but I do think you've got to find a way to get out of the setting to do it. Lunch is not a bad way to do it too.
No,
I'll brag on myself for a minute.
Toot toot.
So I don't know, one day this week, and I was like, you know what? I want to go to lunch. I was like, who can I take to lunch? And I've got like my not my favorites, but I have the people that I typically go to lunch with that just like kind of routinely happens. And I was like, who can I just pick out that I can take to lunch and get to know? So I took Jesse. Who I haven't talked, I feel like I don't even know Jess anymore. Jesse had a baby last year. She's come back. She's only working, I guess she's working 3 days. One of those days I'm not even here. So she's only here 2 days when I'm here. And I'm in surgery both days. So like I hardly ever see her now. And so I took her and then another one of our hygienists. And then Andrea came along because Andrea's like my safety blanket in that regard. Of like, in case these conversations get too awkward, I have someone I know I can just bullshit with. And it was like so... It was so good for everybody involved. Like, it just felt good to talk about, hey, how's it going with Baker? Or how's it going, you know, here? And hearing some of the funny stories or whatever. And it does kill me a little bit because, like, I want to get into, like, well, how is work? Or how is these things? But honestly, those conversations probably benefit work more than the work conversations.
No, completely so. Because they, like, as much as we want to talk about work, they probably don't. And they probably appreciate that in the moment that they don't have to talk about work. So yeah, that is absolutely something I need to work on, and I think it could have helped with some of the crap that I've been dealing with. But we are where we are now.
Onward and upward.
I'm going to keep pushing, damn it. But
well, it just, if there's one thing I know, it's that we typically always tend to replace better.
Correct. And we sort of identify things like faster, even before you hire somebody. Like, is this person going to be an alpha that's good for the team, or is this going to be an alpha who clashes with other alphas?
Yeah. Well, you know yourself, like, you know, every time you hire someone, it's like you're now a new blank slate because you know how to hire. Like, you know what you did wrong. Like, it gives you the opportunity to, like, teach differently or do it differently. Or so I think we get better at that every time.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, this is the first time ever we've hired someone out who has dental experience. We've always in the past.
Really?
Yeah, because we've always just trained people because everything we do is different. We're going to have to retrain them anyway.
It's true.
And so when anyone comes in with any, whether it be a
dentist. No one border molds, that's for sure.
Whether it be a dentist or an assistant who has this this notion that they know what they're doing. And again, I'm not discounting that, but what we do is completely different. We're going to have to spend a ton of time training them anyway. What matters more to me is someone's positive, high energy, and they show up. And I can like waitresses, people in the service industries, bank tellers. We can talk to people, deal with people's crap. Like, and so we've always done that. But this time I needed, you know, I lost my primary surgical assistant at the time and my implant assistant. I was like, I can't spend 6 months getting this person up the curve because otherwise I would have had to pull my old implant, who's now my implant coordinator, who is now handling, we've just made this big investment with Progressive. I was like, I'm not pulling you out of that. They were like, that's still the goal. I'm going to find someone.
I can't go back. Can't go backwards.
You can't go backwards. So I was like, I'm going to get someone who just at least knows some terminology and I can, you know, do the rest from there. So it's been interesting, actually. It's been a pleasure to see how fast they can come up the curve. But still, and then in new hires, just back to the gossip thing and just negative energy towards new hires.
Well, my general thumb is that the shit has to be nipped in the butt. So that's, I think how you do it is, you know, whatever, but you nip in the butt. You have to set precedent. I'm a believer in that.
You going to nip it in the butt?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have on some level already.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to.
Yeah. It's just, again,
especially when it becomes cancerous to the
well, that's it, yeah, cancerous. It's like so it, so, and it does.
Yeah, you know, if people want to have their petty things, I'm not going to get involved unless it becomes like
right. It truly like because a lot of things are just things the next day no one cares about.
Right, and I and that's the stuff I think you have to separate because there's no business for me to get involved.
And right, and then I that
and like sometimes they'll come to me with stuff, and I'm like, y'all need to go fucking work that out.
Excuse correct. Much, yeah, unless I see it becoming pervasive and becoming a. Like a cancer, a poison that is like,
yeah, then I'll step in,
like going through the entire team at that point. Like that negative energy is consistent. I mean,
and that's the importance of having leaders too in your team that can tell you the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you can lean on to say, like, hey, you need to nip this in the butt or don't worry about it. We'll handle it.
Yeah.
Like that's been a nice thing too.
So it's been interesting. Again, it doesn't sound like y'all have had too many issues, but it's amazing how many threads.
We just look like we don't have any issues.
I'm saying like recently the number of text threads I'm on of dental offices having issues with just ridiculous staffing issues. I mean, people we know, it's wild to me. But again, as we say, keep pushing forward and keep creating the team that you want, but more than the team that you need for the vision you have. So
I love it.
Yeah, man.
Well, thanks, Jock. Hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully this helps you. It may not even help you.
Just thanks for letting me vent for a little
bit. Yeah, really, it's what we did. And then we gave a little bit of pointers and some things. Go on walks. I do think that's huge. I really, really want you to try to do that. Take a team member, go on a walk, try not to talk about dentistry. You'll thank me. Otherwise, we will see you next time. Work smarter, not harder. Gosh, it's good to be back. Hey, if you like the podcast, share it. Tell your friends. Go leave us a 5-star review. Like, come on now.
I'm just glad to see the logo wasn't a farce and you actually had beers ready.
Yeah, this is reality.
That's good to know.
I practice what I preach. I'm good for that much. All right.
Well, appreciate it, Sully.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.